Hello everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Birding Life Youth Podcast, the podcast aimed at the youth by the youth. I am your hostess, Gabby Sikora, and today I'm tackling one of my biggest fears, and I'm quite sure there are many of our listeners who feel the same way. Leo, I'm not going to lie, just having this conversation scares me. But I'm hoping by the end of our chat, you will successfully have changed my view on things. So welcome Leo de Toy, 20-year-old Cape Townian guy with a huge passion for snakes and snake handling.
Yeah, hi. Hopefully, I agree. Hopefully I can change your fears maybe a little bit.
Okay, well, now Leo, what you do absolutely boggles my mind, and I don't think I will ever see myself doing your job one day. So to jump right into this conversation, I'm going to start off by asking you probably what a lot of our listeners are thinking. What made you decide to work with such intimidating, well, for me anyway, reptiles?
Yeah, I mean, I get asked that question a lot, understandably so. And yeah, I mean, as you said, for most people, snakes are quite scary and intimidating things. And to answer that question, for me personally, I've actually never been scared of snakes. And I can't actually give you a reason for that. I always tell people, it was literally just, I came out the womb and this is just who I was. There was nothing I could really do about that. I've just always had this random love for snakes, and any opportunity I could, I just spent as much time with snakes as possible and just learned about them as much as I could, watched TV shows, all sorts of things about them, and just, yeah, just randomly it just came to me and it's never left.
Well, if I can just say, that age, my current age, and probably in my old age, I'd still be running away from snakes, so... Yeah. So in a chat we had previously, you said that you were pretty much born into an outdoorsy family. So would you say that this helped build the foundation for yourself loving all things nature today?
Yeah, I would say absolutely. I mean, I think a large part of who we are depends on, you know, how we were brought up and things like that. And I was always just exposed to nature and wildlife and all sorts of things. We've always had a lot of pets as well, so just animals everywhere. And so I've always sort of just been sort of towards that side of things. And yeah, so my whole life with my upbringing and the outdoorsy family, it really sort of encouraged me to be interested and have a passion for all things outdoors.
So I 100% agree when you say our upbringing has a massive role in who we are. And I can honestly say the nature-loving family into which I was born certainly paved my path. So it's really inspiring.
Yeah.
So we are a family who spend as much time out in nature as possible. And I'm sensing as a family you were and still continue to be very much the same. I find it exceptionally hard to answer this question myself, as honestly the diversity in our country is so large, and that there are so many places that are amazing. I'm sure you can agree. But do you have any favorites?
So this is actually a relatively easy answer for me, purely because I have a very specific sort of type of wildlife that I love the most. And so I come from the Western Cape. I'm in Cape Town. So here we have a lot of fynbos, and it's pretty much just fynbos and fynbos and fynbos. And so for me, I always love something that isn't fynbos. And my favorite is always sort of rainforesty type things, rivers, mountains, waterfalls, things like that. So for me, my favorite place is definitely pretty much anywhere along the garden route. And actually, I was just there recently for a couple of days. And it's just, yeah, I mean, rivers everywhere, just lush mountains and all sorts of things. And just definitely one of my favorite places to go.
Okay, well, having yet to actually visit Cape Town and the Garden Route, all these places sound pretty foreign to me. But I am excited to say that we're actually making a trip down to the Mother City in December. So I'll definitely keep the Garden Route in mind.
Yeah, awesome. Definitely worth a stop there.
Definitely. So now staying on the topic of your early childhood, you've told me that when you were a young boy, your parents, well, to put it frankly, disliked TVs and all screens in general. So when you came back from preschool, you were allowed to watch TV, but only for a very limited time. And that time had to be spent watching either documentaries and pretty much anything nature related. So if in the future you were to become a dad yourself, would you instill these rules in your household, particularly now with social media dominating children's lives from a very young age? Or would you be less strict in this regard?
Honestly, I actually think I'd do a similar thing. I mean, different people will say different things, but I really believe that what my parents did was actually a very good thing. Just because of, I mean, they saw back then already how crazy the whole social media and just screens in general were becoming. And now it's even worse than it was back when I was in preschool. So, I mean, I fully agree with what they did. And still to this day, I mean, I don't actually watch any TV, any series, any movies, nothing. I don't remember the last time I went to the movies or watched a movie. So I think that sort of lifestyle in general is a much better, healthier way to go about your life. And so, yeah, I think if I were to have a child one day, I think I would do a similar thing, especially, I mean, by the time I have a child, screens will be even more prevalent. So I think it's definitely a smart thing to do for all parents to sort of have a strict rule about screens and how much their child is allowed to go on. And I mean, nowadays I see so many parents, like when kids are being difficult or they're crying or upset in any way, the first thing the parents do is just shove a cell phone or an iPad in their face and just get the child to quieten down. And I think that's just the worst thing you could possibly do. I agree with what my parents did. And a lot of my friends disagree with that, but that's just the way it is. So, yeah.
Okay, that's very interesting. I must be quite honest. As a child, I was also never personally too big on TV voluntarily. It's just not something that really interested me. Anyway, I spent most of my time, particularly when we lived in the UK, watching Wild Earth. I'm not sure whether you're familiar with it. And also other live cams from the African bush. So that's how I spent my time.
Yeah, that's really nice.
So now getting down to business, and the part that probably still scares me the most, and that's snakes. I admit I know very little about these slithery creatures, and that would likely be the reason for my fear. As part of educating me and other fearful listeners, if we were to be walking out in the bush and came across a snake in our path without knowing what the snake is or how venomous it could be, how would you tackle the situation as a group leader? Because knowing me, I'm going to be running in the opposite direction, so I need your help here.
Yeah, I mean, what you said earlier, I think you really hit the nail on the head there with you not knowing too much about snakes, which is probably a large cause to your fear for them, which I absolutely agree with. I think, I mean, just me in my sort of experience as a snake catcher, the things people sometimes say to me, I mean, to me, it's kind of like, oh my word, how could you think that? But I mean, when I actually think about it, I guess people just don't, no one's taught much about snakes. So no one really has any clue about them in general. And so I think something that to me may be common sense, other people have absolutely no idea about. And that definitely does cause quite a bit of fear because, you know, for me, I'm not scared of them and I know quite a lot about them, so I guess kind of just makes sense. But to answer the question, I think, so if you're walking in the bush and you find one, or not really find one, but just bump into one, the best thing you can do is just keep a safe distance. I mean, no animal in this planet is able to hurt you if you're standing too far away. It's just kind of the bottom line. So snakes, you know, they don't move particularly fast. I mean, some of them are very fast, but they generally move quite slowly unless they get provoked. And so if you spot one, you simply just tell everyone to just stay calm, take a step back, and just keep a wide girth, depending on the species of snake. So most snakes will get out of your way. So let's say there's a snake crossing the path. Most species of snakes would just simply slither off the path when they see you coming. But there are a few exceptions, the main one being the puff adder, which I'm sure you might have heard, they've got quite a reputation for just being lazy. And they will just rely on their camouflage and they won't actually get out the way. And that's how a lot of people get bitten. They end up standing on them because they can't see them. And so for that, I'd say you'd really need to, when you're walking in the bush, you need to know exactly where every step you take is going. Because, you know, if you're walking in long grass or even just on some rocky pathways, I mean, some snakes camouflage so well, you just won't see them. So you really have to focus on the floor and where you're putting each step. And that's to avoid stepping on them. So if you do see one, then yeah, as I said, just take a step back, give it space. If it's a puffer and it's not going to move out your way for you, then just take a wide girth around it. You know, get everyone to just walk slightly off the path and just go around it outside of striking range, which I would say to be safe is as long as the snake is, because you never know what they can do. So yeah, just try keep a distance that is equal length to the body of the snake and walk around it. It's as simple as that, really.
You know, I'm really glad you mentioned the puff adder because I had a very similar experience. Well, my mom did, actually. We were hiking at Sacred Boss Run, and we were coming down the mountain, and all of a sudden, we heard this, like, I don't know the noise they make, but like the typical puff adder noise sound. And my mom looks down and there's a puff adder right underneath her foot. So luckily she saw it, took a very big step back. We took a few seconds to admire it from a distance, and we were actually fortunate enough it did move out the way. It carried on its merry way. And they are so, so camouflage, I must admit. But that's my little topic about that.
My granny's actually been bitten by a puff adder before, which is quite hectic. But she was a big caravanner, and she used to go to all sorts of places and then just go walking around. And she stepped on one once, and luckily it was a dry bite, which means no venom was injected into her. So she got lucky, but she's still, I think, traumatized to this day from that.
Sure, she's very fortunate that it was a dry bite. Wow, but I'd also be traumatized, oh my word. So I do know that there are a handful of highly venomous and deadly even snakes in South Africa. So is there a means to educate oneself on the easy identification of the species? I mean, for a lot of us, a snake is a snake is a snake.
Yeah, I hear that a lot, actually. I get a lot of people telling me, oh, snakes are just all skinny and brown sort of thing. But I mean, if you actually learn about them, they are very, very different to each other. And I think what I did when I was really small was I always got every birthday, every Christmas, I always just told my parents I want the latest snake book. And Johan Marais is my favorite author. He's kind of like the top herpetologist in Africa, pretty much. And so I would always ask for his latest book, and I would literally just read it back to front over and over again. But those books are really nice. I mean, they've got a whole bunch of pictures with the names and information and all that, and it's a really good way to learn. But another tip I often give people is, I don't know if you're aware of the app iNaturalist. I'm sure you know about it. And I often tell people, actually just scroll through that, because in the books, you'll see they usually show pictures that are what the snakes generally look like and what they're supposed to look like. But in the real world, a lot of the times they actually look very different. And within the same species, you can get quite a bit of variation. And so I often tell people, just scroll through iNaturalist, go to like whatever area you live in or whatever area you're currently in, and look at the snakes that have been found in that area, and you'll see all the pictures with all the identifications, and just have a look through that, and you'll see examples of how they can vary within the same species and things like that. And yeah, I mean, just repetitive looking, and eventually you'll learn, I guess.
Thank you. That's such great advice. And yeah, I guess that, you know, reading and also spending more time out in the field also really helps to become a little bit more familiar with them too.
Yeah.
So I'm quite sure that there are some young boys, and hey, maybe even some fearless girls, who find what you do really inspirational. Although, as a snake handler, you're doing something quite dangerous, but at the same time, you are also helping conserve these species and contributing to conservation as a whole. So, for the benefit of these boys and girls, can you guide us on how one would go about becoming a snake handler and what it would all entail?
Yeah, so it's actually quite a simple process. So Johan Marais, like I mentioned earlier, he started the African Snakebite Institute, and they offer some really good courses and training days where they teach you pretty much all you need to know about how to catch snakes, how to handle snakes, and they also teach you a little bit about identification of them. And they do it's in three levels. So I've personally done my level one and level two. I haven't bothered to do the level three one because, in my opinion, I don't really like that one because of basically all they teach you is some extra nitty gritty stuff in like handling snakes. When you know, when you see on TV and stuff, the oaks who handle the snakes like just behind the head and things like that, and milking snakes and whatever. And for me, I don't have a use in using any of those things. And it puts unnecessary strain on the snake and stress on the snake, and it just really makes them upset. So I don't actually do that. So I never bothered to do the third one. But you only need to do one and two to become a snake catcher. So they actually they hold them all over the country and multiple times a year. So if you just go to their website, which is africansnakebiteinstitute.co.za, then you can get all the information on when the next course is and where it is. And it is relatively expensive. It's about 2,000 rand per course. And they get more expensive as you go up each level. But yeah, so it's a couple of thousand rand altogether. And you spend about, it's a day per course. So I did my level one and level two the day after each other. So I just spent a weekend at the place and learned everything I needed to know. But what I would say is, even before you go do that, I would say you should become comfortable with snakes before you even think about becoming a snake catcher. Because I saw some people at the course I was doing who were still terrified of snakes, and it's just not a particularly safe situation to be in. Because the snakes will pick up on your fear, so you basically have to be as chilled and as confident as possible. And you can't let the snake in on the fact that you may be a bit scared, because they'll sense it and it makes them scared. And, you know, snakes aren't evil. They aren't out to get you. All they're trying to do is protect themselves. And if they're scared, that's going to mean they're more likely to want to bite you. And you basically, your job is to keep the snake as calm as possible. And that in turn keeps you as safe as possible. So I would say get comfortable with snakes, learn about them, be able to identify them perfectly every time, and then go take the snake course from the African Snakebite Institute. And another thing I realized after I became a snake catcher was I thought I was pretty good at handling snakes because I'd been handling snakes for years before I even did the course. And so at the course, I did really well and everyone was like proud of me and whatever. But as soon as I became a snake catcher and I actually started experiencing having to catch snakes on a regular basis, then you start learning a whole bunch of new things that you never even realized before, just based on like the behavior of snakes and things like that. I mean, they do some things that you would just never expect. And there's no amount of training or courses or reading that you could ever do that would prepare you for those types of situations. Which is why I say you have to be really, really comfortable. And then, yeah, the most learning that I did was during the course of actually doing the job, which is quite interesting and it was quite fun. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, that's cool. You'll see my name there somewhere if you look hard enough.
So at the end of the day, it pretty much all comes down to experience. And I'm sorry I've been calling it a snake handler. I think you called it a snake catcher. So I apologize for that. But you will be happy to know that I have the snake app. What's it called again? But I have that app. So you'd be quite proud to know that. So my next question is, how can we as the youth dispel the myths and misconceptions associated with snakes and all those other creepy crawlies for that matter to those maybe younger than us?
So I think the best way is like what we mentioned a bit earlier is education, because especially in South Africa, you know, we have a lot of cultural diversity, and there's so many cultures in South Africa and in Africa in general that all believe that snakes are evil and they're out to get you and things like that. And that causes a lot of people to actually just kill snakes every time they see one. And that, you know, it's a real shame. I mean, I don't want to downplay people's cultures. You know, we all believe what we believe. But it is just a shame that innocent snakes have to die because of that. And so I think education is one of the most important things. And so as long as people know about snakes and they know what to do when they see a snake, I think it would end up with a lot of people not killing them who might have killed them before. And, you know, one thing actually is trying to kill a snake is actually one of the most dangerous things you can do. And a lot of people don't realize that. And I say, you know, if you're trying to kill a snake, you're just asking the snake to try and kill you. So it really is just not a smart thing to do. And the more we can educate people about that, then the better it will be for people as well as all the snakes. And yeah, so in terms of other creepy crawlies, honestly, I can't help you. Those things scare me too. I hate it when I'm going out catching snakes. And obviously, when you're catching snakes, you're in the ground, in the dirt, you come across a lot of creepy crawlies. And that is always the worst part of catching snakes for me.
Yeah, so adding on the whole cultural beliefs and stuff, I actually had a chat to an African Herpa last week, and we spoke about how the culture is so diverse, and he's actually spreading the word on, you know, snakes aren't that bad. I mean, he intentionally lets, well, non-venomous snakes, obviously, bite him, and so he can show his culture that, you know, a snake, one little bite is not going to kill you if it's not venomous. So it was really interesting to have a chat to him and his point of view as well.
That's actually super cool. That's really nice to hear.
Yeah, so moving on a little, one thing I know for sure is that there is so much I still need to learn about these serpents, and I really would like to become less fearful and, like you said, more educated. So I'm definitely going to do a lot more reading and studying of the apps available and the books, as even though I have a fear, they have a very special place in nature, and we need to learn to love everything in nature and not just the big and furries. So now, because I could talk for hours, but I do have to unfortunately limit this, I have just one final question. And I ask this question to all my guests, as no one will ever share the same answer. But if you could give me any advice personally, as an avid nature lover, be it about snakes, snake catching, a bush hack of sorts, or even simply leaving me with food for thought, what would it be?
Yeah, so I think I could leave you with a decent food for thought. And that would be, I would highly recommend with being as safe as possible. But if you are out in nature and you do come across a snake at any point, I think it would be a really interesting exercise to kind of just hang around the snake for a bit. I know a lot of people, when they come across a snake in the wild, they sort of scream and run the other direction, things like that. But what would be super interesting would be to actually stay there and just have a look and sort of watch what it does and see its behavior. And I think it would really leave people with quite a few things to think about after that, because of the fact that, you know, people aren't educated about snakes, and there is this idea about them that they're out to get you, and if you see one, it's bad and it's going to come for you and things like that. So I think if you were to watch it and to see what it does, you'd actually see the true nature of snakes, which is actually very gentle. And it's one of the reasons I love snakes. You know, they're dangerous and they're scary, but they're actually very gentle, very calm creatures. And I think, yeah, just spending some time with one, obviously at a safe distance, make sure you're nowhere near strike range. And if you do that and you're safe enough away from it, then it's not going to feel threatened from you. And so you'll be able to see its true behavior without it getting angry at you in any way. And I think that's just a really cool exercise that I think more people should do instead of just running the other direction.
Well, that is such great advice. Thank you. I'll definitely do that next time and not run in the opposite direction. I'll try at least. So, Leo, it's been really, really great having a chat to you. And I'm truly glad we've chatted, as it certainly has opened my eyes to the fact that I don't need to be scared of snakes. I simply need to be better educated on this. So thank you so much and good luck with all your future endeavors. And hopefully we can meet one day when I'm in the Cape and you can possibly even take me on a snake capture. And that would really be tackling my fears head on. But thanks again, Leo. It's been a real pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on here. It was nice chatting to you about the thing I love most. I always love talking about my passion to anyone who's willing to listen. So thank you.
Well, it was really great chatting. Thanks for listening, everyone. And I look forward to recording my next podcast really soon. Until next time, this is Gabby Sayakora for the Birding Life Youth Podcast, signing out.